I'm Norma Martinez with Texas Public Radio in San Antonio. This is Fronteras, a program about issues along the U.S.-Mexico border and changing demographics in the Southwest.
You know, in June of this year, this country and the whole world rose up in horror when we saw that America was ripping children from their parents at our borders. And yet today, just a few days before the Christmas holiday, we have 15,000 children in this facility here in Tornillo and around the country that are basically in child prisons. This is unacceptable for this great country.
That's Minnesota Congresswoman Tina Smith. She was one of a delegation of members of Congress who last weekend toured the immigrant detention facility in the West Texas town of Tornillo. Here's Texas Congressman Beto O'Rourke.
It's in a remote location on purpose so that the American people do not know what is happening here. 2,700 kids, some of whom we learned have been here since summer. We couldn't get a precise date from the contractor, and we're going to pursue this until we get the answer.
Good.
Representatives O'Rourke and Smith were joined by California Congresswoman Judy Chu, Oregon Senator Jeff Merkley, and Senator Mazie Hirono of Hawaii to get the latest information on conditions within the tent city. They had a chance to talk with officials, but not with any of the thousands of children inside. Here's Senator Hirono.
Yeah, we wanted to talk with the young people here, and when I asked why we couldn't talk to them, I was told that we shouldn't interrupt their schedules. And I said,
shame.
There's probably a word for that. It's called BS.
The Tornillo Tent Facility opened in June to temporarily house up to 300 migrant boys to meet the demand for detention space for the thousands of mostly Central American migrants seeking asylum in the U.S. 6 months later, the facility has continued to grow to house over 2,700 boys and girls ages 13 to 17. Because the facility has been determined to be temporary, there's no legal requirement to abide by the Flores Agreement, which does not allow migrant minors to be detained for longer than 20 days. And as we just heard Congressman O'Rourke say, some teens have been detained in Tornillo since it opened in June. More people are detained in Tornillo's tent city than all but one of the 204 federal prisons in the U.S. As media attention has fluctuated towards and away from Tornillo in the last 6 months, one man has made it his mission to bear witness daily and report on Facebook all that he observes. Joshua Rubin is a software developer from Brooklyn, New York. He's been in Tornillo since mid-October. Rubin describes his first visit to Tornillo.
I had been here once before in the middle of the summer for a few hours, and it was very, very hot then. It's a very strange place because it really is in the middle of nowhere. I mean, it's not an accident that it's here. It's a hard place to find. It's a very confusing place. You know, you drive down from I-10 and you drive down a barren piece of highway until it kind of narrows down into a port of entry. And if you were on your way to Mexico, you'd pass it right by. You'd pass this place right by without even noticing anything. I mean, you might notice a tent, but you wouldn't think that this is a tent city full of thousands of kids. It's in the middle of nowhere, and it's very dark at night, except for the bright lights that come out of the prison. But basically, you know, you keep driving down until you get all the way to the Rio Grande, which is a bit of a trickle at this point, and then you're in Mexico. And like I say, you would drive right by if you had no idea.
Well, it's interesting. When I was watching a video of some protests and a rally that took place this past weekend, there was a speaker who had been with her husband, who was stationed in Germany, and they had taken some tours of the concentration camps there. And she made the comparison of those concentration camps to the current tent camp, not because of the atrocities, a comparison of any atrocities that have taken place, but just because it is so hidden. And again, like you said, you could drive by and not even notice.
They didn't notice. They didn't see the smoke rising up out of the camps. They didn't see the truckloads of women and children being brought in. And so when I found Witness Tornillo and saw what Mr. Rubin has been doing, it made me remember what it was like visiting now, touring now, Auschwitz and Dachau, and wondering, why weren't the neighbors watching?
It is fairly easy to do, and I've had the same thought. You know, the people of the village of Auschwitz who said they knew something was going on, but they didn't really know what. people around here do know something is going on, although, you know, if you go a couple of towns away, you're going to find people that don't even know how to get here. It's very easy to overlook, and the physical layout of the camp is such that if you look over at it, you really don't have much of a hint of what's going on there. And that's one of the reasons I came down here. It's the fear that these kids inside could easily be forgotten. And I think kind of largely they had been forgotten until recently, and we've gotten a little bit of attention. I mean, my idea was to come down here and kind of plunk myself down in front of the place and watch what's going on, what goes in and what goes out, and report on it, and with any luck, draw some eyes to it.
Well, I'm kind of curious as to what drew you to Tornillo, because you came from New York. It's not like you came from maybe somewhere in New Mexico or elsewhere in Texas or even Arizona. You came almost all the way across the country to bear witness to what's happening in Tornillo. What was it about this particular situation that made you make that really drastic move?
Well, you know, it started with the family separation crisis. And there I was sitting in my Brooklyn apartment and watching too much news, like people of my age tend to do, and starting to yell at the television set about how horrendous family separation was. I thought, well, I've been down in Texas before. It's not a place that's unfamiliar to me. And I thought, well, I'm going to go down to the border, and I'm going to join all the other people who are going to go to the border and are going to stand up against this. Well, there weren't a lot of people coming down. There were some, and I was glad to join them in protest down here. I came down again because the crisis hadn't gone away. I came down another time. But the first time that I came down, I did see Tornillo. I stood on the outside of it, not far from where I'm sitting right now. And I spent a few hours here, not seeing very much. And I went home. And then I came down again for a conference. And I was sitting around in a room with a bunch of people. And a woman got up and said that she was really tired of people coming down here and spending a day and thinking they've accomplished something. And that sounded a lot like me. So I started trying to think of what I could do if I came down and spent more than a day. And not having much imagination, I thought, well, I'm going to go to the gates of the Tornillo Children's Prison, and I'm gonna sit here. I'm going to watch what goes in, I'm going to watch what goes out, and I'm going to report what I see.
Because nobody is allowed inside other than the employees there, people who work for BCFS, the nonprofit based out of San Antonio that is currently running the facility, people from Homeland Security, people from CBP, from Customs and Border Protection. When you're bearing witness, when you're sitting there, are there rules as to the distance you can be from the actual camp? And what is it actually that you can observe from where you are?
Well, there is a line at which the road and the sidewalk become federal property. They turn from county into federal. Generally speaking, I stay on the county side. There are ways that I can spend some time on federal land, but in order to do that, I have to actually walk into the port of entry and make my way across the bridge to Mexico. They're not very friendly to the idea of me loitering inside and looking around, but I can go to Mexico, and I can walk through. There's a stone wall that, shortly after it turns into a federal property, that you go through. And when cars are going through and trucks are going through, if they go off to the right, I know that they're just heading across to Mexico, to maybe the town of Caseta on the other side. If they turn left, they're heading in either to an ICE processing station or CBP, and this is the vast majority of the traffic, it's the things going in and out, the things and people going in and out of the Tornillo Children's Detention Center. So what do I see? I see people being moved. I see, over the last couple of months, a huge increase in the number of tents and shelters and infrastructure going up, going into, and then becoming erected inside this temporary shelter. It's becoming kind of more permanent looking every day. It's winter, and conditions here are not as warm as us northerners like to think it's like in Texas. It's pretty cold. Generators are constantly being moved in and out of here, I think because the generators get clogged. Same with the heaters from the dust that's in the air. Everybody I know who spends any time around here finds themselves coughing. I imagine that affects the kids inside as well.
That's Joshua Rubin. He's a New York software developer turned activist who's been sitting outside the Tornillo Immigrant Tent Facility since mid-October. He reports his observations on his Facebook page, Witness Tornillo. When we come back, Joshua Rubin says it's not just the children who are enduring harsh conditions in Tornillo.
The employees here, by the way, have extremely difficult life while they're here, even though they're getting pay that's pretty much like at least three times the going rate for workers in this area. But they have to work 14-hour shifts.
More with Joshua Rubin next on Fronteras. Welcome back to Fronteras. I'm Norma Martinez with Texas Public Radio in San Antonio.
Tornillo is emblematic of and embodies an architecture of cruelty, a system that is designed to induce suffering, the deprivation of rights, and that promotes death.
These children are coming out of complete and pure necessity, and as a child of immigrants who has known what that fear is like, for a child that is indescribable.
Those are voices from a rally held December 15th in the West Texas town of Tornillo. It took place outside the Marcelino Serna port of entry, where 2,700 migrant children, ages 13 to 17, are being detained. BCFS, a San Antonio-based nonprofit, has a contract with the federal government to run the facility through December 31st. At the time this program goes to air, it's not known whether that contract will be renewed. Joshua Rubin is a New York-based software developer who's been living in Tornillo since mid-October. He's made it his mission to sit outside the facility every day and report any observations on the Facebook page Witness Tornillo.
It's grown a lot. It went from a smattering of followers to now well over 3,000. Lots of people offer me information that they have, and I post pictures of what I see, and sometimes I say, does anybody know what this is? And people jump in and we speculate, or there are some people out there that know a lot more about the physical stuff I see coming in and out of the place than I do, and let me know. The other thing that happens is because I'm sitting out here, people are going to be tempted to talk to me, and they do. I've spoken to employees from time to time, even though they're instructed not to. The employees here, by the way, have extremely difficult life while they're here, even though they're getting pay that's pretty much like at least three times the going rate for workers in this area. But they have to work 14-hour shifts. And then there's transportation on top of that. They're taken in charter buses in and out twice a day. And they go to local motels where they eat inside their rooms and go to sleep as quickly as they can because they have to get up a few hours later to come back. They don't get days off until they've been in there for at least 14 days. They're kind of these short contracts. There's a 14-day contract and a 21-day contract, and can't carry a cell phone in there. You can't put down the fact that you work here on your resume. They're all forced to sign non-disclosure agreements. They're terrified of talking to the press or talking to anybody about what goes on inside. And I'm not sure why, really. But I believe that they think that they're treating these kids well, so I don't know why they're so frightened of having people see. They keep the kids very, very far away from the fences. If I do get close enough for kids to see, the kids are ordered immediately to scatter and to not engage. Do not engage, which I don't really know how they think these kids are going to understand that because most of them don't speak English, but that's the order they give. Don't engage. They're keeping a secret of something that they say that they're perfectly happy with what they're doing, and I don't know why it's so secretive.
And you hear it said often by certain members of Congress, certain members of the administration, that it's like a summer camp. These kids are treated well. They're fed three times a day. They get to play sports. But yet you call it, and you've called it several times during our conversation, a prison. Why do you call it a prison?
By the way, I've heard those arguments also from the employees inside that it's like a summer camp. It's a prison because they can't leave. And they don't know when they ever will get to leave. They have to go through each day not knowing. And it's a prison because if you actually do get to talk to the kids, they all know exactly how long they've been in there, just like a prisoner does, except for one thing. A prisoner has it a little better in a way because they know when their sentence is up. These kids don't. So they go in there and they don't know how long it's going to be. Every day they wake up and maybe there's a kid in their tent that's gone. And they have to think to themselves, you know, how come that girl went and not me? Did his family love him more? Is there something wrong with me? Did I do something wrong? Did I make somebody angry? It's a terrible kind of prison because there's no definite sentence. It doesn't change things, no matter how well they're fed or how much time they get to play soccer, which, by the way, is not that much time because they only got a couple of fields and nearly 3,000 kids inside. So their shifts in the field are not all that long. They do get to see movies, and I have seen ice cream trucks going in, but I really just don't care about that. I have to say, it doesn't matter how much ice cream you have, it's still a prison. What that means is that they don't have freedom and that they're separated from people who love them in this country, that they all came up to see for no good reason. They're just separated from them.
Well, there is a contract that is famously going up here at the end of the year. At the time of this taping, it has not yet been renewed. BCFS is a nonprofit. They operate health and human services programs around the world, and they're operating this tent camp. What will happen to all those children once that contract is up? What is it that you think may happen with these 2,700 young people at Tornillo once that contract goes up?
I'll tell you this. There's no sign that this place is slowing down in any way. In fact, over the past several weeks, there are only signs of it growing. There have been huge tents that have gone up. There have been hard shelters that have rolled in. There have been huge purchases made. I managed to see a bill of lading for a couple of generators that actually cost $540,000. It's not like they're slowing down here. Will BCFS be the ones to continue it? I can't say. Are there really any other companies that could step into this place in a hurry? I would be very frightened if a transition had to take place like that. My best guess, unfortunately, is that BCFS will make a deal, and that deal will just continue what's going on here, and we'll have to continue to put more pressure on. On the other side of the coin, though, is the fact that pressure is building, that there is a little bit of a notice in the press now that publicizes what's going on here, and it's Christmas time, and these are kids, and I'm hoping that people remember that little combination there. There have been inspectors that have gone in here. They're called Flores inspectors, and they were trying to bring it under the Flores rules without much success. But one thing they reported is that almost every kid, what they dreamed of was be with their families by Christmas. You know, I'm sitting here looking at Tornillo Camp as we speak, and still crazy enough to hope for a Christmas miracle like that.
Well, there actually is going to be a Christmas there in Tornillo here in the coming days. I understand that there are going to be people from all over the country coming to Tornillo to remind the children in the camp that there is somebody thinking about them during the holidays, correct?
Yes, there are people coming down. I'm getting messages every few minutes, in fact, from people saying that they're coming from all over the country to come here and to spend time between the 23rd and all the way through the first of the year to somehow get the message across. By the way, it's hard to get the message across, but we're going to do our best. There's going to be music, and there's going to be art, and there's going to be actions that speak about our disapproval about continuing this children's prison.
How far away would you be on the outside from the children who are on the inside? Is there a possibility they can hear you?
There are rules that are enforced kind of variously around the camp. I can tell you that this morning I spent some time in the rear of the camp in a little section of the prison that where the fence for the Tornillo prison runs parallel to the border fence. It's a fairly narrow strip, and when you're there, you're certainly close enough to areas where there are tents. And sometimes when I go back there, and I have quite a bit lately, there are kids out there playing or kids out there being led around single file as they do inside. So there are opportunities possibly to have children hear. Today, for instance, I had opportunities to have children see. And when they saw me standing up next to the border fence, they waved, and I waved back. That's something that we can communicate to them, and I hope that little bit of contact was as good for them as it was for me. It certainly gave me some feelings of hope.
So you've been there now for a few months. What's the future for you? Are you going to be there indefinitely until the Tornillo camp shuts down, if it ever does?
You know, I wish I could do such a thing. I can't. I'm too imperfect a human being to do that, and I want to be with my family. No, I'll be going sometime in January, and But I'm happy to say that a project that I started here, Witness Tornillo, is going to be continued by other people who are going to take up the post and stay here, I think, until this becomes part, a very embarrassing and sad part of our history.
We've been talking with Joshua Rubin, creator of the Facebook page Witness Tornillo, and who's been bearing witness daily to the goings-on at the migrant tent facility in the West Texas town of Tornillo. The facility currently houses more than 2,700 children, ages 13 to 17. Thanks for joining us this week on Fronteras. You can find the show under the Programs tab on our website, tpr.org, and wherever you get your podcasts. We're closing out the show with Joshua Rubin singing Go Down Moses, a Negro spiritual, where God commands Moses to demand the release of the Israelites from bondage in Egypt. It was recorded December 15th at a rally to protest the Tornillo Tent Facility. Fronteras is produced by Norma Martinez and Lauren Terrazas. Our executive producer is Dan Katz. Fernando Ortiz Jr. is our editor, and Vince Kong is our digital editor. Charanga Cakewalk composed our theme music. I'm Norma Martinez with Texas Public Radio in San Antonio. Let my